since the kids are here with us today. I want to talk today about the voice of the Lord. We're going to be in Psalm 29, okay? But before we get there, I've got some words of wisdom. Now, in my notes, it has a couple of question marks behind it, because I'm not sure these are really words of wisdom. So let's just have some fun, okay? Here's the first one. Always keep your words soft and sweet, just in case you have to eat them. If you can't be kind, at least have the decency to be vague. It may be your sole purpose in life is simply to serve as a warning to others. When everything's coming your way, you're in the wrong lane. Birthdays are good for you. The more you have, the longer you live. That's just the truth. Some mistakes are too much fun to only make once. And then we could learn a lot from crayons. Some are sharp, some are pretty, and some are dull. Some have weird names, and all are different colors. But they all have to live in the same box. That's pretty good. Well, last week we talked about Elijah making his way to the mountain to find a place of solitude because he was worried and weary. And when he turned to God, then he found strength, and God spoke to him and even gave him a solution for his problem. We also need to go after God and listen for his voice. So we're in Psalm 29, and I'm not going to read the whole passage because we're going to take it one verse at a time and just kind of walk our way through. But here David is watching a storm move across the land, and it makes him think of the voice of the Lord. And here's a lesson right at the outset. I have found personally and for others, particularly men, that I can tune into God better when I'm out in the timber or by a lake. I found a lot of guys in particular find that to be true as well. When we're kind of out in nature, it's easier to connect with God. There's something about that. So now let's take it a verse at a time. Actually, the first two verses will be together. It says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." Our worship is inadequate in giving the glory and praise that God truly deserves. The best we can give is still not all that God is worthy of. In fact, it's only when all of creation, both in heaven and earth, worship together that we even come close to giving him the honor that's actually due him. Now here, when it says worship, it literally means bow down. One of the ways we worship God is when we sing. That's kind of an obvious one. And here at Open Bible Church, I want you to know that if you feel moved to do so, you can kneel when we sing and when we pray. That is an expression of worship, to bow before the Lord. But more importantly, worship is given to God by the way we live. We often think of music as worship, and it is one form of worship, but really, biblically, the most distinct way we worship God is by the way we live. Romans 12:1 says this. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. When we offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. So in other words, the way we live, when we give ourselves to God, then we're really worshiping him. And he deserves our praise. We worship God because he is holy. The scripture says he is holy. Now, holiness refers not only to his goodness and his purity, but it also means there is nothing else quite like him. He is one of a kind, and he is worthy. He's worthy to be praised and worshiped. Psalm 113, verse 4 says this. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? And that's obviously a rhetorical question. Who is like God? And the answer obviously is nobody. Nothing else is like God. He is holy, holy, holy. And he's worthy of our worship. As I said, the best we give falls short of the glory that he's actually due. He's worthy of our worship. Now let's look at verse 3. It says, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters." Here's my take on that. His voice has authority over all people and circumstances, the waters. No person or circumstance has the final say, but only God. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter what somebody else has said. It matters what God says. He has the final authority. And it's a common saying when you're asked, "How are you doing?" to say, "Just trying to keep my head above water." But God has authority over the waters. And sometimes we feel like we're drowning in the circumstances of life, but God is still in charge. God is still in charge. And come Tuesday and Wednesday, if the candidate that you want in office doesn't get in office, guess what? God is still in charge. Just like with Peter. Peter was walking on the water and it began to sink, but Jesus was right there and reached out to him. So if you will listen and take his hand, God can get you through whatever circumstance, whatever water you feel like you're drowning in. God has authority over that. Verse 4. "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic." He's powerful. His voice is able to accomplish his purposes. When we hear his voice and follow his leading, we are able to accomplish what he calls us to do. His voice is not just powerful, as in brute force, but it's majestic. In other words, there's a royalty about it. He has a kingly authority. Just in his voice. Think about this in Genesis, in the creation account. God simply spoke and things came to be. That's how powerful God is. That he just has to say something. He doesn't even have to flex his arm. If he just says something, it happens. That's how powerful and majestic his voice is. In Genesis 1:3, it's God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. That's it. God said it, and there it was. And then a little bit later, God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry ground appear." And it was so. God just says it, and it happens. That's the power and authority in the voice of God. Verse 5. "The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon." Now, the cedars of Lebanon were known for their size and their durability. So this is speaking of strength. But God's voice, all by itself, just his voice, can break the cedars. His voice can disrupt the plans and power of people. There is nothing that's too strong for God to change it. There's nothing set in stone. There's nothing unchangeable. God's clear voice and direction can break up the hardest of situations. You might feel like you're in a situation where you're between a rock and a hard place, and it just seems like it's impossible. But guess what? God's word can break through that. Just his voice can break through that. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." There's a story in 2 Kings 6 and 7. Where the city was under siege, and it was under siege for such a long time. The conditions were so bad that the people actually started to turn to cannibalism. That's how bad it was. But the word of the Lord came through Elisha saying, "This time tomorrow." And then he went on to say that basically there would be plenty for everybody. Now here they are, they're starving so bad that they're starting to talk about eating each other. And the word of God says, "This time tomorrow, there's going to be gobs for everybody. And guess what? It happened exactly like that. The besieging army thought they heard the troops from Egypt, and they fled, and they left all their supplies behind, and so the city just went out and got it all, and it was more than enough for everybody. Just because God said so, it came to be. That seemed like an impossible situation. Luke 1:37 says, nothing is impossible with God. I want to pause here just for a moment and think about whatever that troubling situation is that's on your mind right now, and insert that where the word nothing is. Nothing is impossible with God. My situation is not impossible with God. Whatever it is, my situation is not impossible with God. Doesn't matter what it is. God can change it. He can break through. Verse 6. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a wild ox. That's a picture of joy. The voice of God brings ultimate joy. When you know that you've heard from God, it stirs your faith and it renews a hope that maybe has been gone for a while. But you know you've heard from God and something just begins to stir in your spirit. God has not forgot about me. He's still working. I'm encouraged. Verse 7. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. Just as lightning can light up the darkest of nights, his voice can cut through the uncertainties and concerns of life that we face and show us a clear way. Might seem pretty dark in your world, but God can shine his light and show you a way. Like the story with Elisha in 2 Kings, where the city was under siege, God can suddenly change things. All at once, he can radically change things. In Acts chapter 9, Saul, remember Saul, he was persecuting the church. He was killing believers. And he was on his way to Damascus. And all of a sudden, a flash of light came. And God spoke to him. And it completely changed his life. It gave him a new direction and a new calling. All at once, just like a lightning flash. Boom. Things change. God can do that. God can do that. Verse 8. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. God can speak to us even in the driest of times. I've been there before. How about you? We're just like, where is God? But God can still speak. In fact, I have found that God actually often uses those dry times to speak to us. That's the time we're going to hear God. Because here's what usually happens. When we feel like we're in the desert in our lives, that's when we go after God a little bit harder. Because we don't like the discomfort of those dry times, so we pursue God a little more than we used to. And then guess what? When we go after God, he hears us, and he speaks into our situation, and we hear his voice. Moses had a burning bush experience. Remember that? He saw a burning bush, and then a voice came out of the burning bush and spoke to him and gave him direction. Guess where that was? In a desert. That's where it happened. Gideon was in a desperate situation, and that's when the angel of the Lord showed up and began to speak into his life. God can speak in those desert and dry times. Just make sure you're going after God. I know what it's like to be in those desert dry times, and you get frustrated and you get discouraged, you get down. I have been there. Yes, your pastor has been there. But the key is, don't stay there. Go after God. Ask God, what are you trying to say to me in this situation? That's the key. Verse 9. The voice of the Lord twists the yokes and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. Here's my take on that. His voice brings new life. Where it says he strips the forest bare, some of the translations say he makes the deer give birth. In either case, it's new life. You know, when there's a fire in a forest, guess what happens after the fire? New life. It's part of the process. God can remove the old hardness and bring about new life for you. Isaiah 43:19, God says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." I don't think it's a coincidence that he talks about the desert and then the forest. Because the desert is kind of that dead, dry time. But then he talks about the forest and God brings new life. There's always a hope and a future for the follower of Christ. God can bring new life. And I know some people have been in hopeless situations when they got a word from the Lord that suddenly renewed their hope. Yeah. You know, I was pretty down and discouraged, but I just felt like God spoke to me. It's going to be okay. Can I get a witness? Yep, there's several that would say, yeah, I've been there. I was down, discouraged, feeling helpless. But then I just felt like God spoke into my situation. All of a sudden, there's new hope, new life. Greatest example I can think of. Lazarus was dead. Jesus just spoke. And Lazarus came back to life and walked out of that grave. You might feel like you're in a situation where things are just dead and there is no hope. There's no future at all. But God can speak into your situation and bring new life and new hope to you. Verse 10. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. Here's my take. His voice has authority over the enemy. Because the enemy comes in like a flood. Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. God has authority over the enemy. Remember when Jesus was walking around on planet Earth? He drove out demons by simply speaking to them. All they had to do was say, "Come out." And they came out. God has authority over the enemy. So if the enemy has been harassing you, God has the power and authority to bring that to an end. He can do it. Nothing's too difficult for God. 1 John 4:4. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. It's not even a contest. It's like I'm going to have an arm wrestling match with a cockroach. Yeah, there's no contest at all. That's how much greater God is than the enemy. And then verse 11. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Oh, doesn't that sound good just to hear those words? Isaiah 41:8 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God strengthens his people. In Daniel chapter 10, in verse 8, Daniel says, "I was left alone. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened." When God speaks into your life, not only does it give you new hope and newness, but it gives you new strength. You know, sometimes when you're in those complicated situations, those desert dry times, God may not pull you out of it instantaneously. Now, he can. Absolutely, he can. But he might not. But just knowing that God is there with you, God is speaking into your life, can give you the strength to endure however long you need to endure. God has that kind of power. And when you know that you've heard from God, there is an unshakable confidence and tranquility to carry on. God gives us strength and confidence and peace when he speaks into our lives. I think we all want peace, don't we? And ultimately, peace comes from God. That's where it comes. It's really not if everything just goes perfectly, then I'll have peace. It's not the way it works. Peace comes from God, which says, even if everything doesn't go perfectly, I'm at peace because it comes from God. So like Elijah from last week, we need to go after God and listen for his voice, because his voice has so much power to strengthen us, to give us peace, to give us new hope, to bring new life, all these things we've talked about today. We need to hear God's voice. And God willing, next week we'll talk more about the ways that God speaks and how we can hear his voice. But for today, I'll simply remind you that the primary way that God speaks is through his word, the Bible. He's already spoken a whole bunch. This is God-breathed, God-inspired. God made sure that we got what he said. It's right here. So read your Bible. And don't read your Bible just to do a checklist. Okay, I read my Bible today. Check. Don't do it that way. Okay? Read your Bible to hear what God is saying and to simply know God more. Okay? The more you know God, the better you will recognize his voice. You know how when somebody calls sometimes, nowadays phones all have identity on them, but back in the day when they didn't have identity, you'd pick up and there are certain people, as soon as they started talking, you knew exactly who it was. That's because you know that person. The more we know God, the better we can hear his voice and recognize his voice. And so you need to read your Bible, not just to get a checklist done, but read your Bible to know God more. Because then when he speaks into your heart, you know, in that mysterious way that God speaks, you'll recognize his voice because it sounds like what you've already known. It won't sound strange to you because you know his voice already. You've read his word. God has already spoken a bunch. And there's a lot of power and authority and life and strength and peace. Everything we just talked about right here, God has already spoken. We need to hear God's voice, church. We need to know his word. We need to hear his voice. God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, God, that we can hear your voice, and you still speak today. Lord, I thank you for all the things that you promise, that you will be with us in our time of trouble, and you can strengthen us, you can give us hope and a future, and you can give us peace no matter what our circumstances may be. Lord, help us to be students of your word who know your voice, who know you better and better day by day. God, I pray that you would guide us in these last days. Help us to hear you and follow you no matter what. Give us discernment as we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. I've asked David and Susan to be available here at the front if any of you would like special prayer for anything. And Naomi and I are going to be at the back. We'd love to greet you as you go. So have a great week, guys. We'll see you next time.